God. Everybody shout God.
God.
The one who hung the moon and the stars in their ebony sockets. God. God who took his fingertip and carved out rivers and oceans and water. God who holds water in the hollow of his hand, the Bible says. Amen. God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. He's God, isn't he? And God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble, the Bible says. So when you call upon him, he's right there to answer your prayer. You believe that? You believe God still answers prayer? How does he answer prayer? Simply by faith, isn't it? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're assured that you have it before you even see it in the natural, aren't you? Verse 3 of Hebrews 11 says that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. That means God. Everybody shout God. He didn't have any pre-existing materials. He didn't have anything to work with. He just simply declared something, and he spoke something, and it became into being. That's the kind of God we serve today. And on Wednesday nights, we've been studying the names of God, and this past Wednesday was Jehovah Sabaoth. Anybody know what that means? The Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. You realize you have a band of angels all around this tabernacle right here? I wish we could be like Gehazi when Elijah said, Lord, open up his eyes. And when he said that, he was able to see chariots of fire with angels surrounding the armies of Israel. If you could just see into the spiritual world, you would see the very same thing, that God has you covered. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide. Shout abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In him, my God, will I trust. Psalm 91:11 says the angels of God, they encamp. They surround all them who fear the name of the Lord. Proverbs 18:10 declares the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the right. Did you hear what I said? The name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into him and they are safe. It doesn't matter what you call him. You can call him Elohim. You can call him Jehovah Elion, Jehovah Sabaoth. He's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. He's Jehovah Rapha, if you need healing in your body. He's El Rohi, the God who sees you right where you are. Shout yes if you believe it. He's El Shaddai, the Almighty, all-sufficient God. That's who he is, you see. And you can call upon him anywhere at any time. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, who is always present. Do you realize he's right beside you? And not only that, but he's abiding on the inside of you. Hallelujah. He's Jehovah Peleh, our deliverer. He can deliver you out of the bondage of sin, and you can be free in the name of Jesus Christ today. For he whom the Son sets free shall, everybody shout shall, be free indeed. There's not a might or a maybe there. You shall be free, and you can be free by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't God so wonderful? Let's raise our hands to heaven. Let's honor him for just a moment. Hallelujah. For all that he's done here, all that he's done for us, bringing us to the foot of the cross, revealing his power to us in such a mighty way. Hallelujah. Lord, we honor you today. We praise you. Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctifier. Hallelujah. You set us apart for holy use today. Lord, we ask you to bless your word. I ask you to anoint me to preach and declare your word with power today. And I ask you to anoint the ears of those sitting amongst me, that they may hear your word. And Lord, let your word do a miracle in somebody's life today. You've sent your word and you've healed us. And we stand upon that word today. Thank you. The word of God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody got your paper? Raise it up at me. Amen. Look at that there. Isn't that beautiful? All right. This is our mission statement right here. Everybody shout, preach.
Preach.
Restore.
Restore.
Prepare.
Prepare.
PRP. Say that.
PRP.
So when people say, well, what's that willing vessel? What's that tin all about? You can look at them and say, well, they preach, they restore, and they prepare. Amen. PRP. Preach, restore, prepare. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 28. And verse 18, we're going to read the Great Commission. Everybody say commission.
Commission.
That means you're not doing this alone, are you? You're not doing life alone either. He's with you. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? The psalmist David declared, if I make my bed in hell. Now somebody figure that one out. If I make my bed in hell, the Lord is there. There's nowhere you can get away from him. You hearing what I'm telling you today? You can run from him, but you can't hide. He finds you wherever you are. I remember sitting on a bar stool one day, and a man looked at me I'd never met in my life. And he says, you know what? I had a dream about you last night. I said, really? He said, yeah, you were preaching. I said, get out of here. Never met the guy in my life. I'm telling you, there's nowhere you can go to get away from God. The call of God is without repentance. If he calls you, he will never let you go. Did you hear what I said? He will hunt you down and chase you down and bring you back to the foot of the cross and restore you back into covenant with him, because he's a good God.
Yes,
hallelujah. He's a good God. Matthew 28, verse 18. Are you there? Amen. I used to say turn in your Bibles. I can say now turn on your Bibles. So turn on your Bible. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now, he's already resurrected, right? He's shown himself alive to his disciples. He's shown himself alive to many. And the verse before this declares that many did not believe. They couldn't conceive with their own mind that this Jesus was standing before them after they had seen him on a Roman cross just some 40 days earlier. So they're looking at him, and they're looking at him in disbelief. And here's what he declares in verse 18 of Matthew 28. All power, everybody shout power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You realize you serve a powerful God? He's so powerful. Let me tell you how powerful he is. When it came to creating our universe, scientists say there's an estimated 66 trillion stars. You know how many that is? That's a lot. And that's just a guesstimation. They say that there are galaxies that we'll never be able to see, much less ever get to, and that light is forever expanding, and that if you were to travel at the speed of light, it would take you years to get to the nearest star, Alpha Centauri, away from the sun. Now, you talk about how big God is. Well, the Bible says in order to create all this vast creation that we can just see with a telescope, he created it with the power, everybody shout power, of his finger. Psalm 8:3, you see that in Scripture? David said, when I consider thy heavens, the working of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, and he placed them in their ebony sockets, and the Bible says that every time a star shines forth in power, that it's singing praise unto the Lord. Psalm 148, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Every time you see a star lighting the midnight sky, just remember that God hung that star there, and that when you see it sparkling and glistening, that it's praising and magnifying its creator who set it where it is. And if God declares something and he sets it into motion, he will finish what he started. Well, what's that mean for your life and my life? Well, all power is given unto him in heaven and earth. That means all power is given unto him for you in your life. That means what he started with you, he's also going to finish. Amen. Philippians 1 verse 6, the Apostle Paul is sitting in a Roman jail cell with feces all over him, rats crawling over his shoulder, chained in a Roman jail cell. He says these words in Philippians 1 6. He says, I am confident that the God who started this thing in me will accomplish it. For if he begins it, he's going to finish it. Hallelujah. Because he's a good God. Doesn't matter what circumstances you're facing, he's still faithful and he's still all powerful in your life. Hallelujah. He's still all-powerful. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Everybody shout heaven.
Heaven.
And earth.
Heaven.
The devil's not the powerful one in this world. He may be the God of this world, but he's the God of this world because people have made him the God of this world. He's the God of your life because you've made him the God of your life. He controls your life because you allow him to control your life. Now you hear what I'm telling you, because all power was given unto Christ. That's delegated power. That's delegated authority. Then he told his disciples in Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give you power. Shall I have power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the powers of the devil? There's nothing he can do to stop you or harm you unless you allow him to do it. So what must you do? You stand firm in the power and in the faithfulness of God and watch him go to work on your life. You are more than conquerors. Everybody shout more than.
More than.
I think I told them Wednesday night. I might have said it last Sunday. I'm going to say it again. When you're more than a conqueror, if I go fight in a prize fight and I win $1 million, let's just say that. I'm a conqueror, aren't I?
Yes.
But if I take that check home to my beautiful wife and she cashes that thing and spends the money, she's more than a conqueror. Amen. She's more than a conqueror. I did all the fighting. I took the beating. I took the suffering. But she reaps the benefits of all of it. Amen. And that's exactly what Christ did for you. He took the beating. He took the punishment. He took the suffering. But you get to cash in on the reward. And that's why you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves you. Hallelujah. Verse 19, go therefore. Everybody shout go. This is a command, not an option. Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now if you see there on your pamphlet there, everybody shout preach.
Preach.
Without looking at. What is it? That's easy to remember, right? That's your mission right there. All right. Preach. Preach the gospel with power to this generation. Preach good news to the poor, recovering of sight to the blind, deliverance to the captives, healing to the hurting, life to the dying. That's what Jesus did. Luke 4:18, he stood in the temple. He opened up to Isaiah 61, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Everybody shout anointed. To preach the gospel to the poor. Now, what's good news to a poor man? Good news to a poor man is that you don't have to be poor no more. What's good news to a man who's held captive? He doesn't have to be captive anymore. What's good news to a blind man? Good news to a blind man is that you can see from here on out. Hallelujah. And that's what he's called us to do, to preach the gospel, to teach all nations, baptizing them. You see this beautiful baptistry over here? We're going to have one next week. Amen. And we're going to use that thing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. That baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience. You're just telling the world that you've died with Christ and you've resurrected to new life. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, he's washing you with the water of his word and cleansing you and sanctifying you and setting you apart for holy use. That's the kind of God we serve, setting us apart so that he could use us for his kingdom. Preach. Everybody shout preach. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says this, whosoever, are you a whosoever? Shall call upon the name of the Lord. Not the elect, not the predestined, not the chosen. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. That's anybody. Black, yellow, white, orange, doesn't matter. You can look up to the starry skies. Hallelujah. And call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Praise God for that. Hey, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, and I think it's time for this county to get back to the realization that God can save anybody. Doesn't matter what the socioeconomic status is. Doesn't matter the skin color. Doesn't matter the race, creed, or language. He saves everybody that calls upon his name. They shall be saved. They said Jeffrey Dahmer before he was killed in prison. Remember that guy? They said he called upon the name of the Lord and confessed Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, you take a man like that who calls upon the Lord, would you think in your heart and in your mind that the Lord would reach down and change his life and forgive him of all those heinous crimes and sins? Do you think he would? Well, you better believe he would, because he went to the cross for Jeffrey Dahmer just like he went to the cross for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, everybody shout whosoever, shall call upon his name shall be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's no condemnation here. There doesn't have to be any guilt following your salvation experience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't care what you did last night. If you come to the foot of the cross, he's willing to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And do it today. Hallelujah. The kind of God we serve. I'm getting hot up here. Hallelujah. I don't care. I feel the Lord. Shout yes.
Yes.
All right. Hey, I'd rather be out here in a hot tent experiencing God's word and revival than to be in an air-conditioned crystal chandeliers, padded pews, and there's no evidence of the power of God. I want to see God do something. Hallelujah. Verse 14, Romans 10. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now you hear that. You are a preacher. Look at your neighbor. Say, I am a preacher. Preaching the gospel. One man said, let us preach the... Look at him. Everybody thank Piles for that. Amen. All right. Amen. Didn't even have to ask for it, did I? All right, preaching the gospel. One man said we can go preach the gospel And if necessary, we can use words. Now you think how powerful that is. Preaching the gospel without saying nothing. You preach the gospel by the very way you live. You preach the gospel by being nice to your neighbor. In fact, Jesus said, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. For by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. Well, what's the love of God? She sang about it this morning, 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And the world knows us not, because it knew him not. The world thinks you've lost your mind when you say you've come to the foot of the cross and been changed by God. The world thinks you've lost your mind when you say you've come to the foot of the cross and been changed by God's power. But when they see the evidence living out in your life, I can tell you now that when they face a crisis, they're going to say, hey, you mind praying for me? You know why? Because they've seen a change in your life, a change that only the Lord can bring. And that's how you preach the gospel to this lost and dying generation. And that's how we're going to do it to this community. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to say, hey, there's a tent at 1119 Mountain View Road preaching the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you need a change in your life, that's where you get it. I heard here recently that someone committed suicide on church property. Did you hear what I said? Living two blocks away from the church, never heard the message of freedom of God's saving power. There's a problem with that, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lost and dying world out here, and it's your job, it's my job, to take the gospel to them, take them by the arm, and compel them to come to the house of God, that they can be changed forever. Hallelujah. Jesus said, go. Preach the gospel. Teach all nations. Verse 15 of Romans 10. How shall they preach? Except they be sent. I send you today. Do you realize that you're not in church right now? Church starts when you leave this place. Church starts after I pray the benediction. When I send you out of this gospel tent, that's when church starts for you. You're going out into the highways and hedges, and every word you say, every action that you take is an example to somebody you're trying to bring to the foot of the cross. Do you hear what I said? The way you react to trouble, the way you react to bad news, the way you react to a dirty joke, that's what shines the light of the gospel in this world. Say amen, somebody. And you have the power to do it. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Everybody shout supernatural evangelism. Supernatural evangelism. You can be the difference. Everybody shout preach.
Preach.
What's next?
Restore.
And then?
Prepare.
Restore. Bring restoration to this generation. Look at your form there. By teaching trust in the cross of Christ to bring ultimate victory to every area of their lives. Restoring people back to God, families back to each other, and a generation back to the cross. You hearing what I'm saying? The family is being attacked on every side in our generation. It's been attacked by every side. You have the world at your fingertips. You've got the world oozing out of the television into your home. And the family is being attacked. You hear what I'm saying? The family is being attacked. Because the enemy knows that if he can destroy the family, he can destroy the church. Because the church is made up of families. But it doesn't matter your family status now. God can restore, God can redeem, and God can bring good out of a bad situation. You hearing what I'm telling you? It doesn't matter how impossible, how bleak it looks. He's a God of restoration. In fact, he thrives in restoration. Hallelujah. But some of the things I've done in my life, I'm not going to tell you. If I had the guts, I would, but I'm not going to tell you. But if I did tell you, you could see where God has brought me from. Just ask my wife. She'll testify to it, that God brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth and in my heart, even praise to our God. And that's what he can do for your life. That's what he can do for your family, you see. Hallelujah. That's what he can do for your family. Our children, restore. Galatians 6 verse 1 says these words. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual, that is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit, are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness. Listen, you have a ministry of reconciliation. You have a ministry of restoration. You have a ministry of bringing people back to the saving power of God. You realize that? He said, if you're spiritual, if you're walking in tune with God and you're filled with the power of God, you need to start restoring people, not being self-righteous. As you know, it's funny. We judge people by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our good intentions, right? Somebody does something you've thought about doing, couldn't find nobody to do it with you, but yet when they do it, you point that finger at them, right? It's time we start restoring people back to the foot of the cross. Knowing that if it wasn't for the power of God in our lives, we would be in the same position and in the same place. But God is able to restore them. God is able to bring power back to their lives. Shout amen if you believe that. Verse 2 of Galatians 6 says these words, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ. That is the law of Christian love. Everybody shout love.
Love,
love your brother. Love your sister. Amen. If you're just here for the first time, I can assure you, you can feel the love of God in this place. You can feel the love of God amongst these people. You know why? Because the Spirit and the presence of God abides in this place. And we love you when you walk into these doors. And we want to restore you back to the cross, back to the power of God. And I know with all of my heart that He has the power to change your life. That's make you a new creation. Did you hear what I said? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man, shout any man, be in Christ, or any woman for that matter, be in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things pass away and everything else can become new in your life. Do you realize today is the first day of the rest of your life? Everything in the back, just look in the rearview mirror. The only reason to look back at it is to know that God set you free from it and you're going forward. For the Apostle Paul declared from the same Roman jail cell in Philippians chapter 3, he says, forgetting those things which are behind me, I reach forward to the things which are before me, and I press toward the mark, toward the high call of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. Hallelujah. Because He saved you and He set you free. Look forward.
Amen.
And don't look back.
Amen.
Everything in the rearview mirror must stay there. Amen. Because you're going forward. You're going forward in Christ. You're going forward fulfilling the great commission in your life. And the first evangelism field you have is your family. Do you hear what I said? Your sons and daughters, your mother and fathers, your brother and sisters, your family. Bring them to the foot of the cross. That's your first mission right there. That's your first mission. And then the people around you. You don't have to go out of the country to go on a mission trip. My Lord, just go right down the road. You've got a mission field all around you. You've got a mission field in your backyard. You've got a mission field to the right and to the left. Why don't we pray our focus and our intercession on our community and on our county? Because there's people out here sticking needles in their arms, taking their life because they feel like there is no hope. But the good news of the gospel is there is hope, and you are that hope. You are that beacon of light. That's why Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God who is up in heaven. That's why He said you are salt and you are light. There's people out there abiding in darkness, and the only light they will see is the light of you and the light of the gospel of Christ shining through you.
Amen.
My God, let it shine.
Amen.
Shout yes.
Yes.
I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll close it out here in just a moment. Hallelujah. Preach. That's two of you. That's good. Preach, restore, prepare. Amen. Second Corinthians. Right before Third Corinthians. Just making sure you're still awake. All right. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Let's look there. The Apostle Paul. This is what he's preaching to the Corinthian church is the same thing I'm preaching to you right here today. But I want you to notice what he says to them. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5. Folks, you realize we're on a mission here? That we don't have much time left? Huh? We're on a mission to bring people to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what this church is all about. That's what Willing Vessels is all about. Amen. I had a lady ask me before the service, what kind of outreach do you do? We do anything we can. anything anybody will let us do. We go to the jails. We go to the rescue missions. We go to the courthouse, and we pass out information. We get people coming to our recovery groups and to our prayer meetings, and we're trying to reach this community. I knock on doors. I go there, and I say, hey, here's a place you could come to receive life and life eternal. I might knock on your door one day. You gonna let me in? Huh? Hey, I'll tell you what. It ain't a crazy Pentecostal we got to beat off our doorsteps, is it? It's a deceived Jehovah's Witness. It's a messageless Mormon. I've never beaten a Pentecostal off my porch because nobody's ever came to my house. But we're going to go to their house, aren't we? And we're going to take the fire with us. Shout yes.
Yes.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. And in the Amplified, it says these words, received us into favor. Everybody shout favor.
Amen.
Brought us into harmony with himself and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. That's the Amplified version. Great translation there. So the Apostle Paul is saying we have a ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? He's called us to reconcile people back to God. Amen. It starts with an invite. If you work somewhere, say, hey, come to my church. We got a good-looking preacher up there. We have a nice tent. We have good music and good people who love everybody. Amen. Just invite them. It's that simple. Right there. Bring them into the house of God that they can receive God's word. And they say, well, I just don't like going to church. Well, hey, he's on YouTube as well. Go to YouTube, check him out. Go to the website, willingvessels.org. There's videos there. Go to iTunes. There's a podcast where you can hear God's word. They don't have an excuse anymore. And bring them into the house of God. Evangelism. Amen. Know what we're doing here and know how you can get the word out as well. I don't know about you, but it feels good to be able to invite somebody to church. Amen. Knowing they're going to hear the word of life and not some dead, ought to be buried sermon. We've got 6-foot-tall icicles standing in pulpits all around us. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not trying to put them down. I'm just saying we've got to get back to preaching the gospel. Everybody shout gospel. Good news of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to bring people to the foot of the cross. That there are sinners out there and that you are a sinner. You're just not going to fulfill your destiny and do good things. You are a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. All right. I'm going to calm down from that a little bit. Verse 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against the men their trespasses. Aren't you glad of that? That Christ doesn't hold our trespasses against us. I taught him in prayer meeting the other night, there's a difference between sin, trespass, and iniquity. A sin, this is the definition of sin right here. You ready for it? Now, I know you've heard the theological term, missing the mark, but I'm going to give you the right definition. You ready? Meeting a lawful desire in an unlawful manner. That's sin. Sex is a lawful desire, but outside the bonds of marriage, it's sin. Do you hear what I said? Having money, having a nice life is a lawful desire. But if you have to cheat on your time card and your taxes to do it, it is meeting a lawful desire in an unlawful manner. That's sin. All right? That's sin. And we're all born with it. My 6-year-old will, you know, well, she used to, sometimes still does, lie right to my face. I never taught her how to do it. She never took a class on how to do it. She was born knowing how to do it. Just like you were born into this thing called sin. You put 2 kids in a room, give them 2 toys. 5 minutes later, you'll hear them screaming at one another. They want what the other one has, right? Well, you swap the toys. They're happy. You leave. Ah! You go back. Well, they want the toy the other one has. Now, you try explaining to a child they just had that one before. Try explaining that to them. Sin nature, right? Born with it. All right. Trespass and transgression. What he's talking about here. An iniquity, let's cover that first. An iniquity is something that is almost inherited, like a generational curse. Like if mom was an alcoholic, well, then that means you're probably going to be one. Or people will say that all the time. Well, my dad was an alcoholic, or he was angry, or he was, you know, this or that, so therefore I am. And they call it a genetic. That's what doctors call it. But the Bible calls it a curse, a generational spiritual curse in a family line, all right? Now, a trespass is something that we do when we know that it's wrong. See, a sinner doesn't know he's sinning until he sees the light of Christ. That's why when you came to Christ, the things which didn't bother you before, they bother you now because you've been changed. But before that, you didn't care a bit what you were doing, right? And if you're living there now, that means you need to be reconciled back to God and come back to the grace of God. All right. So trespass is when you do something knowingly, you're doing it wrong, and you're committing sin, knowing it. But what he's saying here in verse 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that he is not holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation of the restoration to favor. Everybody shout favor.
Favor.
So he's not holding your sin against you. Aren't you glad of that? The psalmist declared he does not deal with us according to our sins. Well, I tell you, I'm so happy about that, that he hadn't dealt with you according to what you've done in your life, because he's brought you to reconciliation and restoration by faith in the cross of Christ. That's where it is. Everybody shout the cross. That's where it is, right there. The finished work of Jesus Christ. You can't do anything to earn it. Therefore, you can't do anything to keep it. Did you hear what I said? I grew up my whole life going to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I got saved on Sunday morning. I was recommitting on Sunday night because I already messed up in between those hours. But I came to the realization that it doesn't matter what I do, as long as I keep my faith at the foot of the cross, that he is there. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you hear what I said? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Everybody shout ambassadors. Preach, restore, prepare. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative. If I go to Cuba representing North Carolina or the United States, I am an ambassador. Right? The Apostle Paul is saying to you and I today, through the power of the Holy Spirit and his word, that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that whatever realm of influence you have, whether it's a job, whether it's family, whatever it is, that you are an ambassador. You're representing Jesus Christ to whoever you come in contact with. And that's your mission and that's your call. You're an ambassador. God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. Everybody shout prepare.
Amen.
One more verse and I'm done. Isaiah chapter 8, turn there real quick. And I'm going to close with this. You see, today's preparation determines tomorrow's success.
Yes.
You realize that?
Yes.
That's why the Apostle Paul declared, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. What hope do you have? As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, are you giving that hope to a lost and dying world? Are you declaring to them that there is an answer? That there is a saving grace? That there is a remedy for every sin-sick soul? His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're an ambassador. Isaiah 8. I love this. This is powerful right here. This is powerful. You know, Jesus told his disciples in Mark 16, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. He says, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He says, you'll speak with new tongues. If you get bit by a snake, it shall not harm you. He's not talking about snake handling. All right. Don't bring any here, please. All right. But what he's saying was, is if one does strike you, God will take care of it if you're on a mission for him. The Apostle Paul getting fire for the wood in the book of Acts. Remember that story? And the Bible says a viper jumped out, bit him on the arm. He didn't go to the local hospital. He stood there in faith and believed God, because God declared through the words of Jesus Christ that you can be bit by a snake and it shall not harm you. Why? Because you're doing the work of the ministry. How does that relate to you and I? Not so much as a physical snake, but how about this snake, that old serpent, the devil? It doesn't matter how many times he bites you. Some of you have been snake bitten this week, haven't you? But it doesn't matter how many times you've been snake bitten. The grace of God is there to strengthen you and encourage you and lift you up and bring you back as an ambassador, as a representative of the cross of Christ, by how he's changed your life. Hallelujah. In fact, remember when the snakes came and it brought a famine to the children of Israel? What did he say? He said, look to the pole that had the snake and the cross, right? What does that mean for us? We can look to the cross of Christ for healing in our lives. All right, Isaiah 8:18, you there? Everybody shout restore. PRP, tell me real quick. Beautiful. Isaiah 8:18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders. Everybody shout signs and wonders. Now, Isaiah isn't just talking about he and his children. Remember I taught you about the law of double reference in prophecy? That it can be talking about two different things at one time? Well, in Isaiah here, he's talking about the Messiah as well. And he's talking about the children of the Messiah. You are a son of God, right? I tell people that the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men can become the sons of God. Isn't that powerful? And we are sons of God because of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Who was the Son of God. Hallelujah. Christ came to us because he knew we couldn't get to God. So he brought God to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we can get to God through him.
Yes.
But what I want you to see here is that you, everybody shout me.
Me.
I am. A sign. And a wonder. Stand with me. Preach, restore,
prepare.
Listen to me. You are, come on, James. You are a sign and a wonder. You are. You are. You're a sign to everybody around you in your realm of influence. You're a sign to your family. You have to. You're a sign to your family. You're a sign to your co-workers. You're a sign to your children. Amen?
Yes.
And you are a wonder.
Amen.
So the next time you get sick in your body, pray this way. Instead of saying, Lord, why don't you say, Lord, heal me in front of somebody so that I can be a wonder and a sign. Let him confirm his word through your life. Amen. And let him be God in your life. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you want to be reconciled back to God, today is your day. Right here, right now, you can come to the foot of the cross. And I beckon you from the power of God's Spirit to come back to Jesus Christ or to come to him nonetheless. Who are you today? Would you like to come to Jesus Christ? When I count to three, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Amen. God sees you. God sees you right where you are. Let's all raise our hands to heaven. And together, I want us to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe God raised you from the dead. I confess my sin. Every thought, every action, every deed, every word, I confess. And I also confess that Jesus is Lord and Lord of my life. And I confess you today as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. As I appeal to the camera, keep your hands raised to heaven. Anybody watching by internet around the world, wherever you are, you can come to Jesus Christ today simply by faith. All you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus Christ and pray this simple prayer. I confess my sin, and I know you're faithful and just to forgive me of all of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.